gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Rum Daddy.
And I'm Jono Lobster.
Yeah, yeah, last time, 2022. Woo-hoo.
Good riddance. Good riddance to 2022. Go fuck yourself, 2022.
Well, whatever your feelings about the year, 2022 was a milestone year for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It completed Phase 4 with Black Panther Wakanda Forever, boasted the return of Sam Raimi to Marvel with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and saw one of its first core characters receive an unprecedented fourth film with Thor: Love and Thunder. Meanwhile, on the television side, continued to expand with the moody Moon Knight, the Muslim Miss Marvel, and the meta She-Hulk Attorney at Law, further widening the scope of the MCU.
A lot of M's in there.
A lot of M's there. And we got some shorts about Baby Groot, too. Finally, 2022 brought a completely new release format to the MCU arsenal. The A Marvel Studios special presentation, a near film-length one-off story brought to our screens via our Disney Plus streaming subscriptions. We got two, in fact, both released to coincide with a particular holiday, Werewolf by Night, timed with Halloween, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special to celebrate that strange thing we Earthlings call Christmas. To wrap up the year, we're talking about them both because 2022 is better than one, and we'll be doing our year in review, so stick around.
So we got to be careful about throwing around this "the world celebrates Christmas" bullshit because, like, most of the population is Buddhist, and then you have Muslims and Jews and which everybody else.
You're so, not wrong, but
calm your ass down.
They did call it a holiday special, but yes.
Most of the world does kind of celebrate Christmas in one shape, form, or another.
In because, a commercial sense.
Yes, it's all about commercialism and capitalism.
In Japan, I was just talking to a friend of mine recently.
Kentucky Fried Christmas has turned into
a secular holiday. Yeah. And you know what the number one thing that Japanese families like to do on Christmas?
Get Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Absolutely. They get Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's the number. They put in orders months in advance.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
it's a marketing thing that went well.
I know we're in the holiday.
Or did we talk about this last week?
Let's talk about.
It's not the first time we've talked about it.
Okay.
The first Marvel special presentation, Werewolf by Night.
I'm glad I watched this first because I really didn't. I guess I have to tread lightly. I didn't expect shit from either of these. Right, to be honest with you, I like Guardians, but another cheesy holiday special. Eh. Yeah. And then this was just like, I had no idea what to expect. But this Werewolf by Night was cheesy, but in like all the right 50s, 60s, 30s, like shitty horror movie. Like I really like this. I want another one.
I liked
or
it
two
too.
Of these.
It is black and white.
Yep.
For most of it,
does it look too much at the end when they go to color the color version? It looks too like color,
too
like
rich.
It's too bright.
It's the because and maybe Will, you could explain some of this. They change it to color, but they don't change the film stock.
Right,
the sort of graininess of the film stays, so it still looks dated. Even though they've switched to color.
And to hit you over the head time and time again so that you absolutely notice what they're doing, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is playing.
They Wizard of Oz that shit.
Yeah. So I'm like, we already get what you're doing. So
I absolutely loved this.
I did too.
It was a breath of fresh air. And
it was different enough to keep it intriguing the whole time, right?
And yes, there's Marvel stuff in there. And in fact, one of my favorite sort of deep cut characters from the Marvel Universe comics, Man-Thing, has a starring role in this. I was so, so excited.
That's the big tentacly looking Ted?
Yeah, the Swamp Thing looking dude.
Yeah, Swamp Thing, there you go.
But I like just the vibe of this whole thing. Gael Garcia Bernal as Jack Russell, the werewolf by night. Laura Donnelly as Elsa Bloodstone. Like, the cast in this was great. The, like, just stylistic choices. The music. So this is Michael Giacchino, who is a composer. He's the one directing this. So it's kind of his Marvel film directing debut.
That's why it felt, that's why there was a certain sense of timing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The
a rhythm. There was a rhythm to it.
The animatronic dead guy.
Oh, so
such
good.
Such a good fuck you.
So good. And then just the sort of like narrative arc. I think one of these is a film and one is sort of a television episode. And like I love kind of looking at these back to back. I watched them back to back today, actually. And like one, I loved everything about the way it's made, but the other one sort of like it got dusty a little bit.
Yeah, because we're in the same
boat. They do tug at the heartstrings a little bit. But like, I think of these, this one was like outside the box. They're like actually experimenting with it. It didn't feel like it was something that was made alongside one of the movies and could have been like a DVD bonus feature. Right.
It felt less gimmicky and more with a purpose.
Marvel used to do the one shots, like in phase one and two, they did the one shot. So you'd get the DVD and it would have like a little short film on them. Sometimes it was like Agent Coulson doing something, a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer. There was Agent 47 or no, Agent Carter. There was like an Agent Carter one. But anyway, this is kind of like that next generation. And I love this to sort of like tell these little stories in these pockets of the universe that we know we're going to go back to, right? Like,
I want more of this one.
Yeah, I want more of this in particular. And we know they're going to start doing more supernatural monster hunter-y stuff with Blade and exploring those aspects of the universe.
Death dealers and...
Right. And I have to see Man-Thing again. Like, I want more Ted in my life. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I mean, it's kind of hard to talk, to separate them if you watch them both on the same day, because right. It's like you're saying, I went into both of them with nothing, and this one was a much better movie or self-contained thing, right? Even if it was just a long TV show, like a one-off, whatever anthology show it is, right?
But the first time I saw this was on a plane, and it was a perfect thing to watch on a plane.
Yeah.
But as much as like the other one, it did have a lot tug. It was stupid and dumb and holiday kitsch, but it tugged at my heartstrings a few times.
Like, so I want to hear Will's thoughts specifically on the production design of Werewolf by Night. Did you get any of Rick's input on this? Because
he hasn't seen it yet. I saw it by myself. So we've been really busy during the holidays. We've had, family visit, then we're leaving town tomorrow to drive to Palm Desert, and so and we're prepping everything, and we've made more food than two people could possibly eat.
Right.
So he hasn't had a chance to see it, and to be quite honest, I saw Werewolf by Night, October when it came out?
When it came out, yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to finish watching all of it for the podcast because I just lost track of time. But the stuff in the castle and the maze of the hedged maze was such brilliant callback to old movies from the 30s. You know, these old Vincent Price films, and everything's creaking.
Everything's all spooky, and atmospheric.
Spooky. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And the red eyes. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I remember I'm like, God, I can't wait for them to do more stuff like this. Cause it also harkens back to like when I was a kid, I was growing up, I read a bunch of comic books, but the comic books that I read were creepy and eerie and Tales from the Crypt and that kind of stuff. Cause I'm a fucked up horror genre.
Yeah.
No one can see this, but you guys can see like behind me, I have a giant print of The Bride of Frankenstein, on my wall. That's what that is back there.
And this was, I mean, this was all callbacks to that. And Marvel published its fair share of those types of stories. This film was very like Hammer horror, right? Like,
yeah,
like so much of that. And of course, just the design of the werewolf was very Boris Karloff or Lon Chaney or whoever played the wolf man.
Trying to remember your scent.
Yeah. But just when they show him as the werewolf, it's not this CGI sort of like beast. It's like clearly a dude in a suit.
Right. And with prosthetics glued to his face.
As much as Ted, you know, is sort of, you can tell, is a CGI creation, there are times when he looks just like a big puppet mocap type thing. Or not mocap, stop motion. He could easily be. This to me, it commits so hard to the retro feel that it even has those cigarette burns corners for the real change. Yep. And I'm like, that is
brilliant. Love that. I fucking love that because, it's like no one really knows what that's about unless you've studied film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 2 second beep. It hits once and then, you know, you got a certain amount of time before you have to change the reels and hit the switches and go click.
So. Yeah, this is same thing. Like, I went into this with no expectations. I was ready to be mad at it because in the first few minutes, it's just so cheesy and like you can tell. And I'm like, man, I'm not gonna let. And then you just let it happen. And it's what gets you is what you're saying. They fully commit to so much of it that it's all of that 1920s, 30s, like their Frankenstein, all that shit. It just has that feeling.
I wish I could say the same for Guardians of the Galaxy.
That didn't even hit you in an emotional way, did it?
There was one part at the very, very end when it's like the discovery of the sister thing took place. But it hit me, but it was full manipulation of the soundtrack and the music.
Oh, yeah.
Like hitting you right exactly at the right time. But besides that, that was pure garbage.
Let's just to kind of wrap up thoughts on werewolf. There's baking happening in the next room, so that's that's a KitchenAid going.
Oh, my KitchenAid broke down. Hey, we'll talk about that later.
Second,
it's gonna keep happening.
No, it's so the character arcs of the characters in werewolf, like, you want more from them,
yes.
And kind of to contrast that to Guardians, it feels very much like this is the one in between the two movies that, like, we just saw these characters in Thor, Love and Thunder, right? And now we're going to see them again in Guardians Volume 3. So it's like, we know we're going to spend more time with them. But, like, the Werewolf by Night characters, they're clearly kind of, like, setting up this aspect of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we want to explore that. We want to dig in more.
I think that's why they started with a short, because it's like any good drug dealer, let's give them the first small hit for free and see if they like it. And if they do, we're going to be rich, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have my money, whatever they come out with.
And I think it's a great way for them to say, I mean, obviously James Gunn, you know, is doing great stuff with Marvel, is going to go off and do stuff with DC, although sort of unpopularly at the moment. But, like, he's an established brand, right? But to give it to someone who hasn't done a film before and say, hey, we're going to give you this.
That's the best thing about the Marvel what ifs.
50 million, maybe, to, like, make this thing. It can't be, like, 20 million? I don't know how much it costs to make Werewolf by Night.
Not a lot.
It couldn't have been that much, right? And just, like, see them do it and kind of have that be
But you could see where they spent the money on Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
Whereas in Guardians, it looked like somebody got their camcorder on a weekend and shot the whole... It was so...
Well, they did.
The production design on it was so fucking awful. Yeah. Everything, like, how they shot it was so cheap, and they did it cheap, but it looked it was almost unwatchable.
Okay, let's switch the tapes in the tape deck, and let's put in the awesome mix
for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Yes, inside they went there. They went baseball, to Star Wars.
Inside yeah. baseball here. We have GroupMe that we share between the three of us, and there was this same tone on the GroupMe. So I went in with the tone of Rum Daddy, not going to appreciate this. I was like, okay, I'm not. I gotta just try. And but I went
knew,
into
you
it.
You knew that I liked
I
it,
knew that
right?
you liked like, it. So okay. I'm like, I gotta just try to be in the middle and see what happens.
The angel on one right. shoulder, the devil right. on the other. The, saying, no, you'll no. like it. Oh, it's garbage. Right.
The angel with the Burger King crystal mug from our childhood and the devil with the mustache yelling that it's going to be bad. Yeah. So, and I went in with that, and it's cheesy as fuck and it's dumb, but it's Guardians and it's got so yeah. much heart. And as much as I didn't want to like it, I was chuckling and the jokes are funny. And even the shit that's really cringy, like the first alien guy playing the Earth guitar and
yeah,
singing
here's
the Christmas
what I learned
song.
About Christmas.
It's fucking annoying.
I actually Mrs. let
Claus,
that go.
She works the pole. No.
Still, I
That's
just
I actually let a lot of that go because I was like, okay, it's Guardians.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they're going to go cringe on some stuff and I'm okay. And
the
and
Groot
that's,
design
that's
was
bad.
Horrible.
Groot what?
Was
the
horrible.
New Groot. Horrible.
Looked like that. I hope that was just a stand-in because they couldn't get the real Groot. Like, that was the knockoff Mall Santa Groot.
It looked, did it not look like
cardboard,
like a costume?
Yeah.
And like something you would see walking down
wasn't.
Hollywood
it
Boulevard
wasn't.
So yeah, people no, could take their pictures
that
with
That was
it?
Something at C2E2. That was a cosplayer yeah, made yeah. that, and they needed a Groot for the weekend in L.A.
And by the way, why does he have muscles? Why does Groot have muscles?
He can form muscles, but it doesn't matter. He can form muscles from twig yeah. Groot.
A tree like, does not need muscles. A tree
could,
is a tree with trunks.
Grow more muscle mass.
He's strong
mass.
As an oak. He's strong as an oak.
Just like, dude. Never mind.
His sap came in.
Still,
and
though,
it came in strong.
I wasn't ready to buy in. I'm going to give you my full review right away. I wasn't ready to buy in until someone was talking to. What's his face? Bacon. Kevin Bacon. And they said like, yeah, you know, he told us the story of when you saved a town by dancing and, you know, he saved the universe by dancing. And I was like, I think it might be a little dusty in here. I seriously got teared up from that fucking line.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know why. They had me, like you said, with the music and the dancing and it's all lame, but they had me there. Yeah. I hate the holidays, but they had me.
The giving the gifts to each other.
You guys probably started it with Spirited, though, too. I'm just saying.
I think this, I mean, it's clearly textbook, right? They're setting up, hey, when Quill was a kid, Yondu ruined Christmas. And so.
But he gave him his blasters? Spoiler alert.
We don't find out till the end.
Still great.
Right? Like, we don't know yeah, till the end. And then they're like, oh, it's Christmas on Earth. So let's try to do something nice for him. And of course they go on the complete misadventure. And
I
then
did,
the,
I
the
did
scene
appreciate.
The scene that got me is when they like get back to nowhere and he's eating dinner and then he like something's going on and they have all
the lights
and then the
yeah.
snow. And it's like, whoa, it's such a magical
Where'd
moment.
Where'd they get the lights?
Are you kidding? See, we're an opposite because that's the scene that totally lost me that I'm like, oh, here's a cliche of everything I've ever fucking
right.
seen before.
But that's
but they
why
still did
it
Guardian
it.
Style, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
See, I kind of...
Like Nebula's like, oh, fine, I'll pull the thing.
I'm kind of right in the middle of that hole because I get Rum Daddy's like, oh, fuck, this is from every rom-com, everything with Christmas lights I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But also a little bit like Lobster, it hit me right in the, oh, Peter Quill gets a Christmas.
Yeah.
I thought that as a matter of fact,
Bacon,
one of the things that pulled me out of it the whole time was his acting was so horrible. Like well, before, yeah. I see him as Peter Quill, and I'm like, okay, I get it, and it's fun. And but this time around, it was like he just memorized the lines off screen. Like he just finished memorizing the lines.
I think that's kind of how this got put together because they just. Did it on a weekend between filming the actual movie. Like,
and you
can
tell.
I know we're joking about it, but like that also is kind of the truth. So it's sort of like, take it as it is, and do you at least...
That that was doesn't it time- qualify it, that doesn't quantify it to be that bad.
No, I'm not saying
they don't get an out for that.
Well, right, but I'm saying, like, at a certain point, you have to say, would you rather they had not done this at all?
Yes.
And you don't get that experience? Or are you somewhat, like, does this at all add to the...
I didn't need this at all.
No.
But I'm
okay. Happy it exists.
I doubt I'll be going back to watch it, but in my Bah Humbuggy self... It did make me grin a little bit for some fucking holiday cheer. Like, I didn't go buy presents for any orphans or anything, but it still made me feel good a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I was really, because I love Guardians of the Galaxy, but this was just so bad on so many levels.
What about,
there were a few things that I really liked, like when they went to the bar and got shit-faced with everybody. But
what about Mantis? How she's still so like innocent and cute. I love how confused she is about stuff.
I love when she gets really mad and she starts yelling. She's like, nobody cares about this Arknuts.
No, I mean, her, I loved. The whole thing remained with her and what's his face? The...
Drax.
Dave Bautista. With her and Drax, I would have been much happier. Because their romp through Los Angeles was actually pretty funny. Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't really Los Angeles. It was parts of Atlanta. Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, parts of Atlanta posing.
Parts of Atlanta. But I think the scene when they're outside the Chinese theater and...
that was hysterical.
They're like, oh, I'm sorry, his cousin was killed by GoBots. Like, that's just so dumb.
When they that was actually that was so meta. When they were walking through, I'm like, I actually appreciated that.
Well, little.
And the other
little
thing I wanted to get inside real quick, we were talking about this earlier. The other thing that I really liked, but nobody would get this, was in Quill's flashback to when he was a kid. The animation was right out of Ralph Bakshi,
yes,
comics, like American Pop or mm-hmm. any of those. If you've seen any of those,
he did Christmas stuff, right? Like as well, weren't there?
I don't remember if he did or not.
I know he did the Lord of the Rings and some of those, but
the one about rock and roll music was the one that it really looked like.
The little bit of MCU inside baseball. Is that the theater is blown up in Iron Man 3, which is a Christmas movie, and comes back in the Guardians Holiday Special. Mm. It's got to be meant to be. I think this one, again, like, I don't see it as being something that's breaking new ground the way Werewolf by Night does, and like giving us something new and really showcasing the format of these sort of one-off specials. But at the same time, like, I'm really glad this exists. And for a franchise that's so music-centric, like the awesome mixes and things like that, this gives us two rather catchy original songs. And also, like, does hit us in the feels, finding out that Mantis is Quill's sister. I'm still not sure how that works, but... apparently it's a thing. And actually, like, getting, like, when Kevin Bacon says, sorry, honey, I'm going to be late.
I love
there's
that.
Some folks who need to learn about Christmas. I'm just like, oh, Kevin Bacon. Also, this is a complete ripoff of Galaxy Quest. They say historical documents. They think that the person who's an actor is really who they pretended to be.
I noticed that too. I thought the same thing.
Kidnap him. But I love that they're like, oh, he's an actor. And I love that Mantis starts gagging. She's like, oh, you disgust me.
Yeah, it was a ripoff of Galaxy Quest. And that was the other thing that, because that I did watch with Rick. And he brought that up at the right away. He's like, this is fucking Galaxy Quest. What the hell?
But I'm okay with that.
I'm not. Do something original.
So of these two, is there a clear favorite?
You think?
We all like Werewolf by Night better, I think.
Yes.
And I think there's more possibility for future with Werewolf by Night because, I mean, let's be honest, no matter how much Guardians was cute and how much it kind of touched us in the merriment bone, it doesn't, it's not going anywhere and it's not real content, right?
Right. Well, and the third movie is coming.
Right.
They're advertising the third movie as kind of wrapping up these
characters. I want to see the Rocket story. I'm ready for all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's for sure it's werewolf.
I kind of feel like I don't want to say this, like, but I kind of feel like Drax and Mantis are going to die in the movie, so they got their little adventure here, and then when that hits us, we're going to be like, oh no.
No, but they can't do that, because the only time I get to see Drax and Mantis on screen in any meaningful form is the Christmas special right before they died.
Yeah.
No.
Like, no, they're going
to,
like,
be bad.
I'm saying, like, first 10 minutes of the movie, they're dead.
This is the Marvel version of the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah. Well,
now this is at least okay.
Yeah. Well, the Marvel Christmas special introduced Boba Fett, and he's one of the most popular and enduring characters.
Did it introduce Boba Fett?
The holiday special in the animated section introduced Boba Fett.
I haven't seen that holiday special since I was a wee little kid.
Nerds.
Yeah, nerds.
Yeah, I think for me, Werewolf by Night is the more original of the two. It's introducing new characters and one of my favorites from the comics. So I was just so happy to see that on screen. And I want them to spend more time and explore more there. And it would be kind of cool to see them do... If they do another one, like, don't do the black and white, obviously. Like do sort of like an 80s slasher horror kind of thing. And like,
that would be
start to kind of like play with those different
first do the 70s themes. Summer camp and show some Scarlet's jugs.
And the thing that I would compare that to would be WandaVision, right?
Yes.
WandaVision went through the different eras.
I like that.
And the different genres of sitcom, or the different eras of that genre. So to kind of do that with horror and the Werewolf by Night characters would be really fun. Other stuff we want to take away from these experiences, are there... In sort of future installments, are there other aspects of the Marvel Universe you'd like to see them explore? If there's a character who could get their own special or something they haven't explored yet.
I just want to see them keep doing stuff like this, like Marvel What If, stuff that invest a little bit of time and money in it. See how, I mean, it's not like you haven't made $1 jillion anyways. Invest a little time and money in these different stories, these one-offs. See if people like them. If they do, then you know a little bit more what to mine or what to make live action. Or do a bunch of these shorts, right? Do the What If style, but not animated. Do them in shorts. Even with different characters. We don't need Iron Man to be Robert Downey. I think all of us who watch this understand now that the multiverse is available, anything's available. Could be a different Iron Man.
You know, we could also see Captain Britain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going
to
say,
I'd love to see an hour.
There's a Canadian superhero team called Alpha Flight, and I for a long time have been saying that they should do Alpha Flight, but just with the cast of Letterkenny as the lead characters. I think that would be awesome to do as a one of these specials. I think it could be animated too. Like, I think they could do an animated one to explore that. But
I'm with you.
Oh, okay, folks. Well, thanks for doing this little double feature. I hope you guys have enjoyed
it. You know what this was? It was a science fiction double feature.
Hopefully, we paid for both. Did we, or did we sneak into the second one?
I pay for my Disney Plus. I don't know about you guys.
I didn't mean it like that. Remember when you used to go to movies and sneak into the second one?
Science fiction double feature.
If it was the two, I would pay for Werewolf by Night, and I would sneak into Guardians.
Yeah, because I would much rather have Werewolf by Night stub fall out of my pocket than Guardians.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
Okay, so we want to do a little quick 2022 in review. So the first thing we're going to talk about is our favorites of the year. So these are things we saw, movies that we reviewed on the show, etc. And we will include a few spoilers in our discussion. So Beef, I want to hear from you
first. I have absolutely nothing that we've reviewed because I didn't read the rules. And I'm
going over the list right now. Just skim over the list on, and go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did that. Oh, yeah, we did that.
I have an error of recency. So in my brain, it's almost all the things that I've seen recently.
Yes. That was 10 years ago, but yeah. Yes.
No, Emily the Criminal was something that I went into and had no expectations of. I thought that was amazing, and I hope we review it on this cast. Nope was another one that I don't know if you guys saw yet, but yes. I found myself thinking about that movie like Tenet. It was like 2 or 3 days later, and I'm thinking about this stupid movie, and I'm like doing all the, you know, YouTube, what does this mean? What does that mean? So that was another good one. Everything Everywhere All at Once was an amazing flick. I've watched 2 or 3 times now. It's so good. It gets a little heady.
I'm hearing rumors of an Oscar run for
that. They're pushing for a lot of that stuff for them. I will let you lead into this one here that we both want to talk about. But in my first thing that I had no expectations of, it was just another show of the many, another Star Wars spinoff that I could give two shits about, was the least Star Wars property I've ever seen, and I loved it the most out of any Star Wars property, and that's Andor. Just a down and dirty spy show in a rebellion that we know as Star Wars, and I loved it. I don't think it could have been better. And then Yellow Jackets, basically high school girls and their 40-year-old selves, what's going on with them after their soccer plane went down in the wilderness. Think Lord of the Flies, but chick soccer team instead of dude's military team. I'm glad season 2 is going to be out shortly, and season 3 has already been greenlit. They have a plan for 5 seasons, so watch this shit because it is brutal.
As long as it's not on HBO.
No, it's on Showtime. It's on Showtime.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Then I'll be able to watch that as soon as I get Showtime, which I don't have. I have to echo everything you said. I haven't seen Emily the Criminal.
Do it.
But I did love Nope, Everywhere, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Andor, you're right on the money for that. We just watched so much this year, and we talked about so much.
Yeah, probably about 52
on the cast. Well, yeah, like 52 different
like one
movies,
a week.
And that's exactly. I mean, I'm trying to go over some of the stuff that like we had a really good cast on, and I feel like A History of Violence, which was in January of last year, we had a good. That was a really interesting movie that we kept talking about. I know, right? Of course, you know, Lobster and I just went on and on and on about The Godfather. But, like, Last Night in Soho was a movie that I had not seen before, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised at how good it was. Blues Brothers was fun. Coda was a great movie. The Last Blockbuster was a great documentary, which I'm
better than the sitcom.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen any of that. The Top Gun, Maverick. We didn't talk about that, but we talked about Top Gun. I went to see Maverick. I was part of the public that went back into a theater after being gone for so long, and that's the first movie that I got to see in a big theater. And it's cheesy, and it's everything that I wanted in a big film. Speaking of which, since it is FYC season here for Oscars and stuff, yesterday we got to see Babylon, and then we went to the Directors Guild and saw Avatar.
And
Avatar was way better than I anticipated it to be. It's not great, but I mean,
crow chomping to me.
No, it's not. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Visually, it was stunning.
Good as the first one.
The script was way better than the first one because it embraced exactly what it was. It's just going to be an action adventure film, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it had all the same tropes. I mean, all the tropes throughout it, you've seen it a million times. There's no reason the movie had to be 3 hours plus. It could have been 2:15, and delivered the same message. And James Cameron loves to borrow from himself throughout the entire film.
Yeah. You know what I'm hearing?
That he took from every single one of his other films.
I'm hearing.
Do you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing that I have to watch the first one in the next week or two and go out and see this one sometime soon, because I think Mr. Totally Against It, kicking and screaming, didn't fucking hate it. So
I didn't hate it. I didn't like. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie.
You appreciated it. You appreciated it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It was fun. It was a fun movie.
Good.
You know, it still could have it could have lost 45 minutes.
It needed a good editor. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Because there were scenes that went on way too long. There were moments that he's like, let's hold the moment, and it just went on way too long.
That's when you need a fart. Zoom in on the blue guy.
Speaking of farts.
Whoa, segue.
Babylon. Another 3+ hour movie.
Yeah, lots of elephant shit in that is what I hear.
Opening scene, and it's the opening of the movie, so I'm not really spoiling any big things. They're trying to get an elephant to a party, and they're trying to load an elephant onto a truck. And you got all these guys and pushing from behind, and there is a shot of the elephant's ass, and then it farts and shit comes flying out all over you. So disgusting. Ooh,
I know what I'm whacking
into. And that was in 3D. You went with the 3D glasses.
That was the one that they had smell-o-vision in.
Yeah, smell-o-vision.
Babylon,
hey, listen,
not
any
a great
movie
film.
That I go to is
Babylon is there was a like. You didn't care about any of the characters. None of them had real good story arcs except for the main character. And then there was another character, and I know why they put him in there, because I'm sure it was a network note, but there was a character in there that they peppered throughout the whole movie that went nowhere. Like, they didn't, like, you didn't know if he had a family, you didn't know if he was, you didn't know who he was. He was just a trumpet player, and that was it.
Oh.
So
he was a trumpet player.
He was a trumpet player. The movie's, if you want to waste 3 hours over a course, I'd go ahead and watch it.
I'll go see Avatar instead.
Yeah, go see Avatar instead. The Goonies was so much fun to talk about.
Oh, that was a fun one, yeah.
That was a fun one because we were all kids again. I mean, I could go on and on and on. World's End, Thief, Fish Called Wanda, Point Break. I mean, we went all these stuff that we covered. That was a lot of fun. It was fun to watch Beef try and understand Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I think you can say that for all the musicals.
Around it.
Yeah,
that was great. And I actually, the best part of the year was all the musicals that Beef had to sit through. Over and over again. And
we ended the year with one that he liked.
And we
tolerated,
ended the year with one that
tolerated better tolerated. Than the others. Kind of.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing that you enjoyed it and that there were two songs in it that you really enjoyed.
There were two songs in it I really did enjoy. So, yeah, I guess I am a musical fan on that one a little bit.
And that's okay. And that's totally okay. I think. By now, we've all seen Glass Onion.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. Again, another movie I liked more than the original.
Mm. It's like Aliens, huh?
Like Aliens. What did you guys think?
Lobster.
Okay. So, obviously, it's going to be in my top movies of the year list. Most anticipated movie of the year for me, for sure. Only have watched it once.
We need to review it in the next month or two.
We will review it, I think, in the next month or so. It could technically squeeze in with our January theme, although we might save it for February.
Is our January theme? Oh.
I loved it, and I think I liked the first one better.
Did you see what I was talking about? That I said halfway through the movie,
I saw something happen.
No, I'm not giving any spoilers.
Stop.
I'm just saying, I saw something happen, and I figured it out.
We're not entertaining your words.
I think with all of these movies, all of the clues are there.
Exactly. I don't think that was a movie that afterwards I talked about it for a while.
I don't know if I could say I like this one less than the first one. I don't know if I could say I like it more than the first one. Mm-hmm. The first one made it possible for this one.
Yes.
But I've seen the first one two or three times, if not four. So right. I need to, like you're saying, at least one more time to absorb the nuances of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everybody acting in the This Glass Onion was brilliant in their roles, right? Everybody was fun and dumb, and they played who they should be. Yeah, I thought it was good.
And I think what I love about both movies is they feel so contemporary. They feel so right now in terms of like what they're riffing on and what they're sort of not mocking, but
phone updates all the time.
Parodying. Yeah.
They're also reckoning back to shit from the 20s and 30s.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, and that's the thing. So it's sort of like
updating
them. Here's this framework that we're using to tell a murder mystery, but secretly or not so secretly, we've switched the guy with Elon Musk, or you know, we've swapped out this person for Kellyanne Conway, or we've, you know, done this person is the, you know, and they're, it's all right there, and it works so well.
Speaking of work so well, in other shit that I never thought would work, how are you, like Guardians of the Galaxy, how are you going to make a whole series out of one asshole that you've never seen his face and he just mocks people?
This, to me,
sure,
was my TV show of the year. Like, if you said, what was your favorite TV show that came out in 2022? I would tell you hands down it was Shorzy.
I've watched Shorzy more times chin to anus than any other show I have in a long time. I've seen this probably four or five times sober all the way through and one time solidly myrrh. It's a good 2.5 hour heartfelt. I also forgot, but that's in what's coming up. In the same vein of heartfelt, Ted fucking Lasso.
Thank you. I was going to say Ted Lasso for me was the best series.
Out of 10 episodes, I think it was, literally 7 or 8 of them, it started to get dusty in my house because they all got like a message. It's all this team and family camaraderie. It's all like, it's fucking great. It's just,
how great was the Christmas episode that came out of nowhere?
That was good. All of this, Ted Lasso was amazing. You need to watch that very soon, Mr. Lob.
It's on the list.
No, it needs to go towards the top. What are some really of the movies you really like this year? Because I was a fan of one of yours for sure.
Yeah, so I, in kind of looking back over the movies that we reviewed this year, I really enenjoyed watching Big Trouble in Little Chinatown.
Childhood in a Bottle.
And I'll fully cop to the fact that along with the Goonies, these were blank spaces on my bingo card.
Town. There is no town. I used to say town as a child.
I know.
There is
no I did town. That for you.
Did you?
I did that for you. Did Big you? Trouble in Little Chinatown. Okay,
because I was going to say, I always got yelled at as a kid.
So both these films, that and the Goonies, I did not see when I was a kid. I saw it like on cable later in bits and pieces. But Big Trouble in Little China in particular, I thought held up really well and was super fun to revisit. And that's the kind of thing I would love to see, like a Werewolf by Night riff on that style of film somehow.
Marvel could do a Big Trouble in Little China and no
problem.
And
I think it does. I think they do in a way. But I also, film-wise, although I did not see this in theaters, the film Prey, which we did review for our 600th episode, but I think really stands as one of the great movies of the year.
Talk about another one that they spent nothing on. It came out of nowhere, and they did it back to the core of what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
And all the bro dudes who are whining that it was a woman, I love it. I love it.
Yep.
That's like all the white people complaining that Lizzo played the glass, was the only person to play a glass flute for over 200 years that belonged to, was it Adams or Jefferson?
James Madison.
And she went in and played this flute that no one had touched for 200 years. And they're all like, yeah, you're just pissed. A fantastic fat black woman did it. So.
What are some things we want on our holiday wish list to watch or review and see next year?
Yeah, what are we looking forward to in 2023?
The Room. No.
I want more great docs like Gaming Wall Street and the Opioid Crisis docs and all that shit. And I want...
Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
That was amazing. I want more Old Man and Outer Range because from Brolin, yes, I think it was. Good. And... out of scrap. They both were ass kickers in their different respective shows. So
I want to see somebody pick up the rights to Westworld and finish it off.
If it's anybody, it's going to be like Amazon. We got to start sending. We got to start sending him little robot bodies or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm looking forward to. I'm sitting on the precipice of a very scared future. Of what's going to happen, because right now we don't know where everything's going to land. Warner Brothers Discovery is going to change the entire landscape. That's what they're out to do, and they're going to fuck everything up. And how that's going to affect all the other streaming services, we don't know yet. So let's see what happens when the dust settles.
Do you feel, in a sense, that this is, in a very Westworld fashion, it's just the narrative is repeating? The narrative was cable. And then it became streaming, and now it's streaming, and it's evolving into something else.
It's evolving into streaming cable. So, like,
right, they're putting ads back in. They're doing linear again,
and they're going to do like channels. I feel like they're going to have like channels. So, if there's something on HBO that HBO, let's say HBO gets, you know, Top Gun 3, you know, and they say it's going to be on February 23rd at 8 o'clock. You have to be sitting in front of your TV set at 8 o'clock on February 23rd in order to see it. You can't just go, oh, I'll stream it later.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. I mean, I'm still waiting for theatrical to kind of like come alive back. Again. Yeah. And
it's slowly coming alive, but it's changing. Much like
things that are going to get me into the movie theater.
Well, much like theaters back in the Wild West changed from being the black box movie theaters, you know, that was vaudeville and then the black box with the piano player doing the silent films, and then the talkies came, and then they actually built like these palaces to movies when the talkies came, and they had to like change how they did everything. I think they're changing what I'm seeing here in LA, and this is very bougie, of course, because it's very LA, but I understand the same thing's happening around the country. You're seeing theaters that are reopening, but they're reopening with like they're upping their food and doing cocktail lounges.
You can do dinner.
That's what we've,
you can do
dinner had those, at a movie. We've had those around here for about 5 years now, and every theater has.
We've had those for a long time as well, but I think, but then during the pandemic, a lot of them shut down, like a lot, like all theaters shut down. And then now they're starting to reopen, but there's more of that happening.
It's trying to
be so
more of an experience, more of a night out, instead of let's cram 200 assholes into each theater. Let's put 70 assholes into each theater, but and, get them to buy booze and food and spend 2 hours before or after here.
So there's a movie theater near us that's in sort of a dying mall. And we keep saying, like, they need, because it's just a standard movie theater, not reclining seats, not, none of that fancy shit.
Still the sticky
floor. And we keep saying, like, let's expand the movie theater. They should actually buy up some of those vacant storefronts and expand and put in the recliners and the food service and all of that and make it like a destination people will go to.
Well, you live way out in the middle of nowhere too. So
that's the perception. You have that perception of where I
because
live.
Because that's what you keep describing to us.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
I don't have an address. Everything has to go to the post office.
We had a friend come visit us, and then when he left, he hit a deer.
See?
The joys.
See? How much damage to the car?
Like a glancing blow, so it just hit, dented the side, took out his mirror. But he was okay.
What are you looking forward to review this year? Because I was going to steal one of them.
I 100%, like, the movie I'm most looking forward to is Spider-Man. Agreed. Across the Spider-Verse.
We should have had it this year.
I know
year.
We just got a new trailer. We got a new tease trailer. We got a new poster tease for it. But again, like, that's one I'm just super, super excited for.
I'm not really, you know, it's like, there's nothing that's really, like, shouting out at me that I really am anticipated to see.
Let it all out.
There's nothing, you know. I got nothing.
All right. He wants to see Spider-Verse.
No, I'm going over the list right now, and, you know, John Wick, I can't wait. It's going to be terrible, but I love the John Wick movies. They're going to be fun. Sure. Guardians of the Galaxy. But besides that, like, there's nothing else. I'm going through everything. I don't know if The Flash is ever going to be released or not. I don't know if I care to see it.
I'm excited for Guardians.
The Indiana Jones. Huh?
I'm excited for Guardians.
I'm excited for Guardians. Maybe Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah. Oppenheimer for sure.
Yeah. But did you ever see Fat Man and the Little Boy? It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, but it's Nolan. Yes. Nolan can bring the pretty and...
The second part of Dune.
Yes. Well, really is that coming out next year or is it 2024 early?
2023, November 3rd. November 3rd of 2023, yeah.
I turn 40 in 2023. And that means that Jurassic Park turns 30. And that Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, turns 20. And those are two of my favorite movies.
Beef is excited about one of those.
Yeah, I would love to revisit a couple of those.
Well, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to watch Godfather Part 2.
Which came out in... Did it come out in 83?
Didn't we watch that in the last few years?
We saw the first one. We didn't see the second one.
I don't know.
Trust me, you'll love it.
No, I've watched the second one. I'm pretty sure I watched it with Wing. Hold on. Legends. Anyways, what else do we got?
Probably like 8 years
ago. Yeah, that was recently. I got you.
So we're going to do something different in January. We've done a couple of theme months in January.
It's basically our catch-all.
We've done Canuary, which is sort of like
shitty.
The toilet of the cinematic calendar. We've done Japanese films in something we problematically called Japanuary. But inspired by Spirited, which said that at that time, the leading cause of death was January, we're doing the most dangerous month. A month all about humans hunting humans for sport.
Legends Podcast, 212, September 22nd, 2014. Movies Beef has never seen. The Godfather.
8 years ago. Part 2. I'll take it.
It's too soon.
You've never seen The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, 8 years ago. It's too soon. I can't watch it again. I can probably watch it again. Fine.
But we saw The Godfather
Fine,
March
I'll
22nd.
Watch it with you guys. Jeez. I had to watch The Godfather twice in 1 week, 8 years ago, and now I got to do it twice in a year? Whatever. Anyways, go on.
No, you're not seeing the first one. You're seeing the second one. And the second one takes place here.
Let's wrap this slut up.
Whoa. So we've got some movies to pick from. The idea here is movies about humans hunting humans. There was one came out recently, pretty controversial, The Hunt. I think that would be fun.
Was that the wedding one?
No, that was, I think, Ready or Not.
Yeah,
but
that was
on the
actually
list
pretty
to
good.
Choose from.
That was actually pretty good.
I really want you guys to see Get Duked, which is a British movie. It's about teenagers that are on like a Boy Scout hike, and they end up becoming the targets of a human hunt, but then they get high and everything's okay.
All right, let's do both of those because I've never seen either of them, and that could be fun.
Let's do Battle Royale. I love Battle Royale.
Ooh. Okay.
Did I? Is this? I think I just watched this a year or two ago because everyone told me it was so good after the Hunger Games.
Yeah. So
that's 2000. That is kind of a 22-year-old film
for the Hunger Games.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with those three. We'll shake those in a bag and figure out what weeks they come up.
And we're going to go back to the original 1932.
Back in my day, we're still in the Depression.
Back in my day, you could hunt humans for sport. It was legal.
We'd even pay you for the meat.
That's right.
If we're going to watch that, I want to see the menu.
What?
Is that technically...
I don't know, but...
I don't want to say game, but is it game?
Is it a hunted humans hunting humans movie?
I think it is.
Humans
we
eat.
None of us have
humans.
Seen. None of us have
yeah, we
seen
don't know.
It.
Guess what?
Spoilers.
Guess what?
What?
Guess how many Cannibal. Tuesdays are in next month?
Five.
We've got five.
One, two, three, four, fifth. We better record on Tuesdays and we can get them in.
So
let's pick a
fifth. I've only seen the trailer for the menu and the signs, and the it menu? Looks like people hunting people.
The menu,
or at least food. Eating people.
Eating people.
Oh, but it's you're saying it's out right now.
People,
is it out? Is it at theaters? I'm surprised I haven't gotten a screener for it. I keep asking Rick, "Have you got a screener for the menu?" He's like, "No."
The menu is probably
looks
one
like
of the most
meat back on the menu, boys.
I didn't write this, but it sounds like something I would. The menu is probably one of the most strangest and yet extremely absurd thrillers that I've ever seen of all time, and yet seems like a film that I thought was good to enjoy. That's one
run-on.
All right,
folks, if that broke your brain, what I'd like to ask our listeners to do is if there's a movie out there about humans hunting other humans for sport and possibly eating them, please let us know.
We will
there's
slot
an email
it in
address.
The spot of the menu this year. You do the menu next year.
We'll make a reservation.
You want to give the email address?
legendspodcasts@gmail.com. With an extra S for
succulent.
Savory.
Succulent. I ate his
something
liver
else. Succulent, savory. Come on, we need a third
fava
one.
Fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Chianti. Salty.
Well,
so
we still need another movie? We've got five movies,
well,
six
if,
movies?
Yeah.
Unless if,
well, we've got.
We'll do the menu if we want to steal it. Otherwise, we will steal a different movie. If no one recommends a fifth movie, we will pick something. But we'll go with these four first, and it'll be fun. So, we do that next month. Next time, Legends Podcast, we start 2023 with a bang with the most dangerous month, January. You couldn't think of a pun for this, bro?
I couldn't. Manuary?
Jabbing you for money, Harry? I don't know.
Ooh,
starting with 1932's The Most Dangerous Game. Hunt humans. Make money, bitches. Have a comment, question, recommendation. Recommend us our fifth Humans Hunting Humans movie. Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for see thee in 2023. This has been episode 607 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, man, we talk a lot.
I am Rum Daddy saying, we use a lot of words.
I'm John Lobster saying, what the heck's a turtle dove, and who lit up that deer? I don't know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here.
He's not wrong, folks. Have a good holidays, and we will see you on the other side of the year.
So long, suckers!
Yeah, boys!
Adios.
Brochachos.
Adios, brochachos.
Oh, boy. That was the thing that happened.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast plural. For all our contact information as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.